Thank you that, Lord, we can come together this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. And thank you, Lord, that we know that as, Lord, we open ourselves up to you, Lord, you give us understanding, you give us wisdom, you give us revelation, and you give us victory. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How many are applying or seeing the difference in their life as they applying their authority? Are they exercising their authority recently, as we've been talking about that? Anybody? Praise the Lord. You know, if you're not, it's because something is missing. Okay, you won't get the breakthrough that you need by just listening to me on Sunday morning. I can only plant some seeds in there, but I cannot do it for you. You have to do it yourself. And that means, you know, if you spend 3/4 of an hour or something like that on Sunday morning listening to a message, you know, of victory and power, and then for the whole week you're exposed to all the things that the world says, that you may have thought before, then whatever, don't expect to get big results. Because you know, there has to be a change within us to see manifested the word in us. See, just because we heard the word once doesn't mean that we are thinking along those lines. The way we think, the way we perceive things, the way we connect with the reality around us has to change. And so, you know, this is a process we have to do by allowing the word to work inside us. Are you following what I'm saying? And you do that by, you know, today the world is so scattered. And what we have to do is to unscatter ourselves, is to focus ourselves on the things that we really want. You know, if you are sick and you go around doing everything but not focusing on the how to connect with God so that you can be healed, you know, it is unlikely it is going to happen. And even if it happens, you lose it quite likely. Because the other things will keep your mind and they are going to take over. What you need instead is to spend enough time to keep the thoughts of God being in you and growing in you and becoming stronger, so that they take over the other way of thinking. So that they take over what is inside that is producing the problem. So we need to learn that it's not by reading 2,000 books, it's not by going to 2,000 places, it's by going to one place, you know, go to Jesus in a constant way. When you have a truth, go and that you have to receive, go to that truth and get it by yourself. When you are exposed, if you are scattered all over the place, you cannot progress. Because one moment you go in one direction, the next moment you go in another direction, you don't know where you're going. If you had to go, know where you go and focus on what the truth that is going to set you free. You don't need 10,000 sources because they are going to confuse you. You need one idea, one scripture that works in you as the power to transform your life. one scripture in that particular area in which that scripture applies. You know, one scripture about salvation. If you got that, really, that scripture, when you believe it and that's working inside you, that's going to keep working inside you and it's going to keep empowering you, because the word of God is sent for a purpose, is to produce the fruit that was designed for in you. But you have to be open to it. This is the way spiritual things work. Okay. So now we're going to talk about how and why, how to apply the authority that you have. See, your authority or your righteousness is the same thing. You know, what your righteousness is the fact that you are the way God wants you to be. All right? And because of that, you know, he is working, and his power and his authority is working inside you. You know, and so we have to see how we apply that, how we make it work for us. Okay? And to understand that, you know, but unless we are regular. You know, you cannot exercise your authority 1 minute and or 1 hour or, you know, in the morning, on Sunday morning, and then go around and let the devil kick you around for the whole week and think that you made progress. All right? You had to hold on your position. See, Israel, when they conquered the promised land, they didn't go very far. They had to take all of the possession. Because if they would go too fast, then, you know, the beast of the field would take, you know, they would lose the territory that they gain. The territory that you gain in the Lord spiritually, you had to hold on to that and keep it. Otherwise, you're going to say, well, it doesn't work. Well, you didn't work it right. It's not that it doesn't work. All the power of God is there. So you can, you know, you can get results if you don't lose the one you get. Because you can keep moving on. Now, we have to understand how to apply this, how to apply your authority, what you apply your authority to. Okay? If you go in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says where the battle is. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So stop fighting people. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is talking about, see, the battle is not in the physical. It's not in the physical things around you. It's not the people around you. It's not the sickness that you have or that somebody else has. It's not those things. It's in the spirit world that the battle is. And you have to fight at that level if you want to get anywhere. Otherwise, the only thing you're going to put is put band-aid on the thing. And it's not going to work. And it's not going to produce results. So we have to understand that our battle and our fight is against these things. If people oppose you, if people do the wrong thing, you know, the thing we have to understand that they are bound by these things. And sometimes we are bound by these things that we have to shake loose. And the way the binding takes place is through our thinking. When we think wrong, We are going to do the wrong thing. When our belief system, when our beliefs are wrong, we are going to believe the wrong thing and we're going to keep bound. Hello? See, we have authority against these things. If you are a born-again believer, and you should know that you are a born-again believer, first of all. You should know the difference that makes in you. But after you, from that point, you have to understand that, you know, because you are, the story now, the situation for you is different, is changed. You are not anymore like everybody else in the world. Now you have authority. Adam, at the beginning, before he fell, had dominion over the world. That's what God said. He had control over the situation, over the physical thing, because, you know, in the spirit realm, you know, didn't need to know anything because there was no opposition. Except, you know, the opposition came when the devil came and tempted him. But he told things to happen. He gave name to the animals. He produced, you know, he looked after the garden, looked after the earth. This is what we should do today. If you are born again, it's your responsibility to do the same thing that he did before. And to the degree that you are free, you should do that. And you do that by not the physical way, but by the spiritual way, by exercising your authority over the environment. Jesus did that. I mean, he stopped the storm. Well, what was he? Was he? He did not do that because he was God. He didn't do anything that he did because he was God. He operated the way we operate, or the way we should operate. This is why he said that the things that I do, you shall do also, and I do greater things, not because it's our power. He operated the same way as we had to operate, through the authority that he received because the Holy Spirit was in him. When we have no hindrances in our belief system, we are going to be able to do the same. And to the least unbelief that is in us, and the more this is going to be manifested, the whole earth waits for that. God waits for that. He's waiting for us to move and to respond to what he has done. We have to realize the responsibility that we have. Because he's waiting for us. You know, Romans says that all nature groan for the manifestation. Why? Because it wants to be set free. Because it knows that the freedom comes because when we take our position. But, you know, we have to also realize where we actually are. And to allow God to reveal to us the things that we believe that are wrong. Show us our wrong thinking, the things that limit our abilities, the things that keep us bound, like we weren't the children of God. And this is a process. See, it just doesn't happen like that. It's not that we can, you know, there is all a system of beliefs that we have to overcome. The fact is that more and more people, and it's not everybody, it's a remnant, start to realize that. And it's going to be more and more manifested. You see, Adam was a son of God. Jesus was a son of God. And he came to create children of God, sons of God, brothers of him, to be able to operate the way he operated. It was not that we had to go around, you know, that these people, you know, oh, you know, the movement of some of the movement of the Son of God just goes off rockers. You know, saying that they're something special. They're nothing special. It's not their power. It's not our power. It's his power. So, you know, Adam lost his estate because of one simple thing. Because he believed what Satan told him. We had to change what we believe to get it back for ourselves. Because if we are born again, everything that needed to be changed in our spirit is changed already. It's just that our mind has to be renewed. See, this is why Satan became the god of this world, because he controlled the situation through our fall. See, this is why we had to start allowing God to change the way we look at things and to change the way we relate to the world around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. You see, when you believe the false ideas, then you don't see the truth anymore. And why? We do not believe. Do not believe what? Do not believe what God has provided, what God has done, what God, who we are even. But they take the lie. Lest the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, this is the blindness that we have hold us in bondage. Because even if you understand, even if you have a revelation, you know, we really don't have the whole picture. Don't have the whole belief that we should have. When we see Jesus the way he is, when we have the full understanding, we will be like he is. That's what the word says. That is God's plan, not ours. This is what wants to happen. And it's true for everybody. Now, it doesn't matter where you are in your this growth. As long as you are open, and as long as the word of God will start keep working in you, you're going to see more and more of the manifestation of God in your life. And more of his power be manifested through you, to transform you, to change you, and to use you for his plan. You see, the selfishness, self-centeredness falls away when these things. It's not a question of you had to try to change yourself or to limit yourself or to try to do the right thing. When you have the understanding, you do the right things because it's the only thing that you can do. Because you were built that way. It's not religion that sets you free. It's not trying to follow the law that is going to enable you to overcome. It's by receiving the truth. It's the truth that set you free, not the law. Now, see, Jesus is the second Adam. It's the call, you know, in... it's not actually second Adam, it's second man, but, you know, it's created again. The idea is simply that the fact that, you know, he got back the authority that Adam had at the beginning. And he had it already when he was born, because he was born without sin. This is why he had to be born not coming from Adam. Because he was coming from Adam, who inherited the sinfulness from him. Instead, he was brand new created the way, the same way, or physically in a different way, but in the same way that Adam was created. He was, again, a son of God. And only, you see, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. How can you create a son of God from a sinful person? The only one that you can give you that, life is the one that's already there. This is why God had to create a new one. That from him you will get the life. So, you know, you have been, this is what means being born again. When you are born again, you are a new person. You are not anymore the person you were before. Amen. All things have passed away, isn't it? But you see, the point is, on the physical, sometimes you cannot see it too much. But you have to believe it, and you have to start seeing, the way you know, like a baby has to start to walk in that new dimension. And you had to learn to do that. You had to understand how to do that. That's why, you know, it's so important. See, it's anything. We had to really start recognizing what is from God and what is from the devil. And you don't need many hundreds of scriptures. You don't need a big revelation to know that. I mean, just one scripture tells you the story. John 10:10. The thief comes but to kill and to steal and to destroy. I come to give you life more abundantly. Is this giving you life abundantly, or is it killing you and destroying? I mean, look at the situation and you know exactly where it's coming from. Instead of trying to spiritualize things and say stuff that is doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You know, simply, Jesus, look at Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry is pretty simple. There is nothing simpler than Jesus' ministry. He went around saying, the kingdom of God is here. He said, then it's inside you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, this is a statement. There's no big theology there. There's just a simple statement of a situation that is right now. And he demonstrated the kingdom of God by the things he did. What was that? Healing sick, ministering to people freedom, casting out demons. That's the whole story. There's nothing much left to add to that. That's what he did. There's nothing else. Act 10:38. Jesus didn't do anything else. I mean, he showed some things that also demonstrated the fact, for example, you know, some of the behavior that went with, being part of the kingdom of God. But the fact is that basically what he did, most of the time what he did was going around healing people and setting people free. Wasn't doing great theological lessons, you know. When was anointed, you know, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Act 10:38, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I mean, it's not that complicated, is it? The thing is this what is done generally? Is that the emphasis today? Well, if not the emphasis today, then we must know better than Jesus did. Well, look at the results. See, we look at things in the wrong way and we emphasize the wrong thing and so we get the wrong results. That's automatic. See, we should start doing things the way he did them and we probably would have much fewer problems. This is why, you know, the Tuesday night what I'm doing is focusing on what he taught. See, sickness, disease, troubles, temptations come from the enemy. And Jesus came to destroy his work. If we work for him, we should do the same. Our focus should be to destroy these things. You know, you listen to lots of people and they say, well, you know, the first things that they get, you know, if somebody gets sick, well, you know, it must be some sin. And if it's some sin, you know, you have to first repent of all your sins. Maybe then God, maybe, you know, if it's his will, he's going to to heal you. Well, if God put the sickness on you, just keep it, because it's a good thing to do. Because, you know, Jesus would not have healed anybody if God put the sickness on them, because he was going against the Father. He never asked anybody if they had sinned before healing them. Actually, sometimes he corrected the other way around. People trying to figure out, you know, who sinned, them or the Father, because he's sick, and, you know, and he clearly said, you know, mind your own business. It's the wrong way to look at it. See, but the point is, if it's God putting the sickness on you, then keep it, because that's a purpose. And often we need to find the purpose for all the wrong things that they go on. So we put the purpose on that as well. You know, God is teaching a lesson. Well, learn the lesson. You know, the problem is that wrong thinking produces the wrong results. You should fight against the things not accepted coming from God, because it's not God putting it on you. You are, you know, giving, thinking that what Satan did is a work of God. Act 10:38 said very clearly that the people that were sick weren't sick because God put make them sick, did it? Does it? It was the devil that made them sick, and so that's why Jesus went around setting them free. So, you know, he wasn't stopping God from teaching lessons to people. He was teaching a lesson to them that God was there to heal them. It's the opposite of what is often teaching. You know. And we have to realize an important thing, that you are not weak against these things. That they had not the power to push you around. But you have to start believing that before you're going to see the difference. You know, even before Jesus died, when he gave, you know, in Luke 10, verse 19 says, you know, but below, I give you authority. And this is, was even, you know, wasn't even, you know, he was just passing the authority, delegating the authority to them, wasn't even died. Well, you know, these people were still sinners. And he gave them already the authority to operate in his name. Give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, you know, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any way hurt you. Can you say any way?
Anyway.
What does it mean? There is nothing that can hurt you. See, people are so afraid that maybe the devil is going to do something to them when they stand for the truth. Well, so what? Your belief is that he's more powerful than God, and you believe what you believe is that what the word of God says is not true, but what you want to believe is true. And it's according to the belief that you have, you get. You see, the enemy has advantage over you and pushes you around because you believe the wrong thing. You give him power in a way because you put yourself under him. When instead he's under your feet. He's under your feet. I'm not saying that. Jesus said that. So, and then says, you know, don't nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but the spirit are subject to you, but rather rejoice because the name is written in heaven. you know, is written in heaven. So, see, the problem is that the fear that we often have, you know, associated with these things, because of the wrong teaching, because of the wrong understanding, because of the wrong exposure, you know, we give power to these things when instead, you know, we have the power. I always go back to, you know, my initial vision about demons, you know, in which, you know, I didn't fully comprehend that the way I do today, but they were afraid of me. And I was just a baby believer then. I would move, they would back up. Now, I didn't fully complete, that's good. I mean, if I would have really dwelled on that, I would have moved much faster than I ever did. Because I would really, you know, focus on what God was telling me, and that was 30 years ago. But what's the truth? This is scriptural. This is what the word says. Now, see, we have to understand, you know, so we are not powerless. We are powerful. We have the given, you know, we have Jesus, the same power that worked in Jesus works in us. You know, people look at Jesus like, oh, no. Romans 8:11, you know, same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. It's the same spirit is in there inside you. It's nothing different. I mean, this is something that should turn us on and enable us to do things, start to make us courage, to give us courage to do the things that we had to do instead of being, you know, chickening out and being afraid and doing it, whatever. Who cares? See, this is why, you know, we are not powerless. You are not powerless. This is why, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. See, not in their name, you know, not in your own name, not according to what you want. It's authority. That's what it is. See, we work for Jesus. Oh, actually, Jesus works through us, which is the same thing. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says something interesting. It says, for he must reign, verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemy under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things under his feet, is it evident that you put all these things is expected to happen? So you see, it's expected. See, this is not quite evident. There is another scripture that I'm going to read now. Where is it? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. On the same topic. You have put all things under his feet, for that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things under him. You see, he's not completed. See, something is still missing. Is not fully manifested. That's what he's saying here. Now, if you read in Romans chapter 16, you have a different picture. So it says it completes that. It goes, bring it forward. It says, and God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Shortly. Hello? You see what has to happen? For all things to be under Jesus' feet have to first be under our feet. We have to exercise the authority. You know, Jesus is not going to stop Satan from attacking you. He cannot. because he has delegated the authority to you, and you have the power to stop him right where he is. Don't say, please don't, you know, not be tempted. No, you do something when temptation comes. You do something when you're in a situation that you need to break through. Because Jesus has delegated that power to you so that you go forth and you kick the devil off your ground. Hello? You see, this when we talk about exercising authority, that's what we are talking about. We are talking about taking a position for what is yours, about the things that Jesus cared about. What he did, you should start doing. You can preach the good news. It's not that complicated. Jesus died for their sins so that they can be free. Don't make it difficult, because they aren't there to understand much more than that. But you know, you can say that and being realistic and expect them to believe you unless you prove it first. And you prove it, pray for them and get them healed. Then preach the gospel and they'll listen to you. Hello? That is what Jesus did. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, this is what God wants to see in these days. You know, we are close to the end, if you like it or not. Just look at the world. It's coming apart at the seams. You know, the setting for the coming of the Antichrist is here. There is no solution in the world. You cannot have peace anymore. Okay? The setting is ready. He is going to bring peace and the bondage that comes with him. But we are going to have a position if we have developed first and have the strength to kick the devil off our side. And we have to do that. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? Is this scriptural? I mean, these are the scriptures. There's no way. I mean, unless you start not believing any of the scriptures. You see, this is the thing. This is what's spreading through the church. This is the great apostasy that is taking place in these days. People don't believe anymore that Christianity is a supernatural event, is not a philosophy or a religion. It's God's power on which our faith is based. It's not on man's philosophies or ideas. This is what Paul said. And that's what I strongly believe. The fact is that we can experience that. We can see the victory. And if you don't see the victory, spend time in the Word so that the Word becomes real to you. Then you don't have problem with temptations. You don't have problem with things. When sickness comes, you kick it off. But you have to be strong in the Word. Praise the Lord. You get anything? Amen. So we'll close in prayer today. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we know that your word is truth and doesn't change. It's the same today, the way it was 2,000 years ago, the way it was 10,000 years ago. God does not change. We know that, Lord, you are faithful and that you, Lord, what you said is going to come to pass. So, Lord, we just open ourselves to your word. And we ask you, Lord, that as we, Lord, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, Lord, we may come to understand your perfect will, your will, your power, your anointing, and your breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Amen.